Okay. Well, it is a privilege to introduce Jamie to you guys. A few things about her. She was baptized here at Trinity, and then she came back to Trinity in 2012. Her and Clay have been married for 8 years, and they have two children, Olivia and William. And Jamie is the director of Family Promise in Montgomery. If you know her at all, you know that she loves the Lord and she loves to serve people. And if you don't know her, then this is a wonderful opportunity for us to get to hear her story. And so, Jamie, we're really thankful that you're here tonight and look forward to hearing from you.
I'm an emotional person, so I'm going to start with that. I'm also a Christian, and I'm a wife. I'm a mother and a daughter. I'm the youngest of three girls, and I like my eggs over easy. My identity hasn't always been as easy to define as all that. My parents divorced when I was younger, pretty young. I mean, I was about 11 months old. I grew up in a house of all girls. I pretty much did whatever my older sisters did. I followed Tiffany to piano lessons. I did ballet because Tina was a dancer. When Mama remarried, my stepdad loved golf and baseball, so I loved golf and baseball. I never really knew myself. I never knew what I liked and disliked. I never knew what I wanted and didn't want. I thought if I could just be what I thought everybody else wanted me to be, then I would be happy. Or if I could just get their attention, whether it was through behaving or misbehaving, I would feel better. That's kind of the way things went for a large part of my life. I craved attention, usually the male kind. I had this absence of a father figure, and I looked to fill that void in all the wrong places. So I hung out with a really cool crowd and wound up with a really cool boyfriend. Tiffany that year was in college, and Tina was the lead in the high school musical, and I was in denial. When the pain started, I chalked it up to an upset stomach. Sorry. When I realized what my body was actually screaming at me, I called the police. Clearly, this was before every teenager in America had a cell phone glued to their hip. It was the final night of Tina's play, and I had stayed home. So this terrified 16-year-old told the dispatcher, "I'm driving myself to the hospital. Please tell the police to go find my mom. She'll be on the front row." I can't tell you everything that happened that night, and it's not just because I don't have time or I don't want to. I just can't remember everything. I know that when I got there, there was no heartbeat. I remember being wheeled up to labor and delivery, and the doctor telling me that I was going to have to push. I remember my mom holding my hand and the room being dark and cold. I don't remember my mom ever leaving my side, but I know that she did. She had to take care of all the arrangements for me. I remember not being able to talk about it. I was in private school and I couldn't talk about it. I pushed through high school barely. I wish I could say that that was my turning point, but if it was, things would be a little bit different for me. I continued down that dark and twisty path, trading one vice for another. I'd suppressed so much and felt better when I didn't care, or when I was with people that didn't care. I had moved to Wisconsin, and I was living with some guys that were in a garage band. I moved out when a friend came over, and literally helped me pack all of my things and said that she wasn't going to watch me die in that house. Not long after that, I found out I was pregnant. I knew that it had to be different this time. I thank God all the time now that He showed me that. I knew that I didn't want to be on this long, dark, and twisty road stumbling around with this beautiful little life God had given me. This little life that helped me change mine. This little life that helped me mend broken relationships with both of my parents and my sisters. This little life that was going to light up my world. I wanted to find the right way. All of that was easy to see and say, but not as easy to carry out. And I'm sure that everybody has, you know, had a moment where they wanted things to go a certain way and just couldn't quite get there, but still not knowing quite how I liked my eggs. Jay and I got married because we thought it was the right thing to do. I'd grown up in the South. He had been in a military family. I remember us going to church once when we lived in Wisconsin, and moving to Tennessee didn't change any of that. We were friends that barely knew each other, and the more we got to know each other, the more we knew we just wanted to be friends. We're pretty good friends now, too, by the way. Olivia and I started irregularly attending the Episcopal church there. I thought that would be comfortable because I'd grown up in an Episcopal church, and I knew the service, I knew the hymns, I knew the stories. But it wasn't easy. Nothing about it was easy. It wasn't easy being a single mom. It wasn't easy sitting on an unfamiliar church pew. It wasn't easy making myself get up and get ready for church when I was already exhausted from working, adulting, and mothering full-time for a week. It wasn't easy. It was hard, and I was so broken. When Clay and I had our first date, he asked if I minded if he prayed before dinner. Which is insanity if you think about it, having to ask if you mind. And of course I didn't. And it was no Johnny Appleseed blessing. It was a heartfelt, thankful prayer. I'm not sure that I could ever explain to him the impact that it had on me that day. Because I kind of learned my Bible stories on felt board with, you know, paper dolls and the... There's nothing wrong with the felt board, but I never did any memory work, and I never truly understood the words or the impact of the gospel. I didn't realize that my relationship with God could be that personal. That prayer and the way He spoke to God, our Father, still amazes me. And it sounds crazy, but suddenly I knew. I knew I wanted to know Jesus, not just about Jesus. I knew I wanted a partner in life that was close to God and wanted to grow with me in Christ. There's a lot of story between that day and the 3 years later when we got married. That day was a mess, but we got to marry each other at the end of the day. And Olivia was baptized a few months later, and William was born a few years after that, and I knew I liked my eggs over easy. After William was born, I threw myself into church here at Trinity, maybe as a defense mechanism, so that all of y'all wouldn't see how broken I am. We got pretty involved in the disciples class, children's church, I mean, family promise, teaching fourth grade Sunday school, VBS, mission trips. Several of you have already heard about how I came to be with family promise, and the church I know has a recording of that, so I'm not going to go into it, but a lot of you are part of that struggle with me and part of the journey, and I'm happy to email you that if you email me and want it, but... about a year ago, I just want to tell this other part of my journey. It's a little bit different. About a year ago, I felt led to accompany my husband on his second mission trip to Greece, which is a really beautiful country, and I don't think that many people understood the impact of what our mission teams are doing over there. But the men's group would be working with several missions over there, while the women's group would be working with the sex trafficking victims at Damaris House. I knew he had had an incredible experience years before, and part of me wanted to feel that, but another part of me wanted to be safe at home with the kids. I kept trying to get people that I thought that I would have a fun time with, to go on that trip with us. In fact, I asked a lot of people to go on that trip with us, and it was a hard time to go. It was during the school year. And instead, I ended up with a team of people that I didn't know at all. I had Julia Penley, Rob's mom, who I had spoken to on the phone one time. I had Susan Clark, who I had said hello to in Trinity Hallways, but, you know, nothing much beyond that. And then I had Melissa Gully, and I didn't know Melissa at all. Clay had been on a mission trip with her before, but I didn't know anything really about her. And then Elizabeth Bush, who was always super sweet to me, but I didn't know her either. But that was the team that God planned. And I wasn't sure what was going to happen. None of it seemed real yet. The panic attacks I was having were pretty real. There were several days where I was curled up in a ball on my bathroom floor, sobbing and barely breathing. I almost backed out about 6 times. That was pretty real. I wrote a real email about my fears and concerns to Tom and Claude, who both wrote me back with some very real love. And I didn't have not one panic attack after that. Not one. When I talked to Tom about how strange it was that the panic attacks were gone, he simply stated, "Demons die in the light." That statement was about to get more real, too. A written testimony is part of the mission trip application through Trinity. I'm still not clear on who sees that or what happens to it after it's turned in. Not because I wasn't told, because I'm sure Tom told me, and I probably asked him more than once, but because I was probably too nerve-wracked to listen. I just know that it took me 3 weeks to actually sit down to write my testimony. When I finally did sit down, it took me 3 days to finish it. Because demons die in the light. When I was done, I knew that I had to talk to Olivia before I turned it in. She didn't look at me any different than she had 5 minutes before. That thing I feared, the judgment, it didn't exist. It was only grace. I'm not sure when we were told we would be giving our testimony to these women who had been trafficked halfway across the world. I think all of us were nervous that our stories would sound trivial to them. I was nervous that my weaknesses and past would be revealed. It turns out I had more in common with the girls and my team than I could have ever imagined. Some of them had also craved attention. Some of them had traded one vice for another. Some of them had been searching too. Some had lost. Some had gained. Some were still hurting. We were all broken. But there was grace there too. Broken. I was halfway around the world and finally learning to be who I am in Christ so that I can live life as God intended. I've learned in my search for the Father to see myself the way that God sees me. I'm loved. 1 John 3:3. I am accepted. Ephesians 1:6. I am a temple. 1 Corinthians 6:19. I am a child of God. John 1:12. And I really do like my eggs over easy.